Is daf lamed zayin, I think, right? So we got to, I'm beginning the bottom of lamed vav and beis. The last three lines, the Gemara begins with the brayso tani rabbanim. Yadcha, the pasuk tells us by tefillin, it says v'hayu v'haya lecha l'os al yadcha. It should be an os on your yadcha. What does yadcha mean? Zosmol, it's referring to the left hand, placed on the left arm, as we know. At Omer Smol, you think it should go on the left hand. Oh, ain't el yamim. Maybe you should really place the tefillin on the right hand. Can't be, because Tam Malom, the pasuk tells us in pasuk Yeshayahu, Af Yadi Yasda Eretz Vimini Tipcha Shemaim. So Yad is the opposite of Yamin. So it says in the pasuk Yamini, it tells us that Yad is referring to the left hand. Gemara brings another raya for this, that the Yad always means left hand. But Omer further, Yada, the pasuk says the hand is liyaseid tishlachenu, like a peg, it should be sent out. Vimina lahal musa amelim. So we see again, Yamin is in contrast to Yad. Yad means left hand. The Omer, yet a third pasuk, this pasuk appears in Tilim, it says, Lama sashiv yadcha viminecha. Why do you return your hand and your right hand? So again, yadcha is in contrast to yimincha, yadcha is referring to the left hand. Mikarev chaykecha chale, that's the end of the pasuk. So we have three sources that clearly say, indicate that yad is the left hand. Comes along with Rabbi Yossi Acharim. Acharim is a description who he was, or how he looked really. Look at Rashi, what Acharim means. Acharim means chotmo mishuka. His nose was flat. It was one of the Rashi, Tozerat points out to one of the mumim that applied to the animals. And to quantum, if this nose is very flat, and there's no nose in between the eye of some sort, I don't know exactly how it looks, that's the type of mum Rabbi Yossi had. So Rabbi Yossi Acharim, he said as follows, Omer matzino yamim shenikra yad. It's not true. We do find instances where the yad, with the word yad, does refer to the right hand. What does he use? Which pasuk does he prove this from? Shenemar, it says, yad shenemar, v'yar Yosef ki yoshes aviv yad yimino. That we see that Yosef saw his father Yaakov was switching the hands with Ephraim and Manasseh. It refers to the yad yimino, his right hand. So even the yad is described as yamim. So the idach, the Tanakhama responds back to Rabbi Yossi, yad yamino ikri, yad stamaloa ikri. That's only because it qualifies it as the right hand. But had not said yamino, you would have assumed the default is yad always means the left hand. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he says, eino tzarach, you don't need this whole, all these different calculations, these psukim. Harei Omer, it's a very mefurish pasuk. It tells us, ukshartam, ukhsaptam, you tie them and you write them. Meaning what? Maksiva b'yamim, just like a person, we're talking about a regular righty. Most people are righties in this world, as we know. So just like the writing takes place with the right hand, the yamim, so by the hekesh, you kshartim, the kshir also, afa kshir b'yamim. And now since you write, rather, since you have to tie, do the kshir with your right hand, there came the kshir b'yamim, so mimeila hanacha b'smol, that means the hanacha has to be on the left hand. And that's his drasha. Nothing to do with whether the word yad means right or left hand. It has to do with the kshira must be done with the same hand that the ksiva is done, meaning with the right hand, which again translates to tell us that the left hand is where the left arm is where the hanacha is being placed. So Rabbi Yossi, hacharim hanacha de small minale. So according to Rabbi Yossi, how does he know that the hanacha has to be on the left hand? How does he know this at all? Because he says the word yad could even mean the right hand. So from the pasuk itself, there is no indication from Rabbi, according to Rabbi Yossi Acharim, where does the tefillin go? So the Gemara says, Nafkale mehecha the Nafkale the Rabbi Nosson. He uses the pasuk of Rabbi Nosson, of ukshartem, ukhsavtem, that tells us that it has to be on the left hand. That's the source for Rabbi Yossi Acharim as well. So then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, miyadcha ksiv behei kaha. What does that mean? It says in the pasuk, it's written, yadcha, it says, yadcha, and there's a hey there. Yadcha is always feminine. So keha is like weakening. Keha means also dim, to be light. So the weaker hand, the softer hand, the left hand, the weaker hand, that's where the tefillin should be going on. So Amar Le Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Ashi, Vemi Yadcha Shibikoach. Maybe you're referring to the Yadcha is referring to the right hand, the stronger hand. You know, Yadcha means the weaker hand. So Gemara says, Amar Le Miksiv Bechested, say Bechested, read it as almost like Koach, Liad Koach, let's say with Koach, it says with a Hey, and Hey is a soft sound, it's a Ha versus a Cha. Cha would be strong, but then say a Yad Chacha, if you will, something like that, it says Yad Cha, which is softer, indicating the weaker hand. So then the Gemara says Ketanai, it's really Machlokas Tanai. Yadcha behei zu small. With a hey, it's like in the cave, it's feminine, that's always the weaker hand, that's the small. However, the achem omen yadcha, the extra hey is coming lirabos as agidim to come to include agidim, a person who is missing a hand, him as well. He has no hand, he should still has a requirement to put on whatever part of the arm he has. So the Gemara says, Tani idach, ein lo zroa, if he doesn't have an arm, he's pater min atfilin, he's pater. But the Acherim and others say, no, Yadcha, the rabbi says, Agidim. Even though he's missing a hand, he still has an arm and should wrap around the straps around the arm that whatever he has. So we see from here, either way, this machlok is whether Yadcha is coming to say the left hand or is coming to teach a whole other din and nothing to do with the left hand at all. Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Tanu Rabbanan, Iter Yad, the person who's a lefty, Meniach Tvilin B'Yamino, he should put the Tvilin on his right hand, Shehu Smola, which is his left hand. What does that mean, his left hand? So it sounds like that his right hand is stronger hand, we call Yamino is always now a stronger hand, should place on the stronger hand, which is a left hand, which is exactly what we do. So we put on our left hand, but it's our weaker hand. He also puts on his left hand, but it's referred to as his Yamin, because it's his stronger hand. So then the Gemara says, Hatanya, doesn't the Baisa tell us the other way? Hatanya miniach bismolo shu smolo shu kaldam. I'm saying the other way around, I'm sorry. The first shot was to put on his right hand, which is his weaker hand. Now it's saying put it on left hand, which is the same exact left hand as all of us. So which hand is he putting on? There's a machlokas in the Baisas. So the Gemara says, Amar Bai, kitanya ahi bisholet b'shteyadav. What's referring to, if he's the second Bryce is, if he's a ambidextrous, so then he should put in the left hand like everyone else, like all righties. But if he's only a lefty, then he should put it on their right hand. And that's exactly what he paskins. So if a person's a lefty, he puts it on his right hand. If he's ambidextrous, he should put it. It's a complicated halacha. Do you go based on his weaker hand? Does it go based on what hand he writes, on the opposite of his writing? Because the drasha says above, uchsaftem, whatever hand you write hand. So my son, for example, he writes with his left hand, but he shoots basketball with his right hand. He's an enigma. Everything, he can't figure out which one it is. So someone once told me, I think Rabbi Noble told me that, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky once was asked this question, what hand should I write my tefillin on? He said, what hand do you hit your brothers with? So he felt that was like the stronger hand, the opposite of the stronger that you fight with. Others say the opposite of the writing hand, others say the weaker hand, so it's very, very hard to figure this out. There's a long bear halacha on this halacha. Rabbi Noble told me a lot of people, what they do is, who are lefties, not a lot, but what some of the poskim say, you should try to do both hands. To be makbid, first put in your left hand. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it's a lot for a young 13-year-old boy to have that. Exactly. So, okay. Gemara then says, Tana, the baby Nasha, Ayodcha, what does it mean? Ayodcha, Zuo, Kiboris. Kiboris is like the bicep where we place the tefillin. That's what it's referring to. Well, not on the hand, but on the arm, the biceps. Bene Necha, doesn't mean between the eyes, actually. Zu, Kadkad, hey, exactly where, right in the forehead area, right where the hairline ends, or begins. So then the Gemara says, Heichi Amri Debe Rav Yanai Makom Shemocho Shotinok Rofes. The area right here where it's very soft for the child when they're born, that's the area where you place the tefillin. So Bai Mine Plima Rame Rabbi Mishiesh Lo Shnei Rashim Be'ezem Em Miniach Tefillin. The child's born with two heads, Siamese twins, so which head do you put the tefillin on? So Amrle, he says to him, Rabbi says to Plimo, O kum gole, O kibalacha shamta. Go out of here, I'm kicking out of base magic, or you take upon yourself shmata, which is referring to a nidoy. So he didn't like this question. What kind of crazy questions are you asking? Wasting my time. Ask like real questions, not theoretical questions. Adhachi, while that conversation was going on, also Ahu Gavra, a certain individual came into the base magic. And what did he ask? Amalei, is Yali Li Yonka the Ishle Trey Rashi. My wife gave birth to a child that has two heads. Kama Baina Lemesa Lakoin. He asked a different question. He wasn't concerned yet with tefillin. It's 13 years away. His concern was, how much do I owe Pidyon HaBen? This is my firstborn son. I'm a Kohen. So, I'm not a Kohen. How much do I owe the Kohen, the Pidyon HaBen? Is it one or is it two? Twice. 2 5 Salam. So, Asa Husaba, a certain elderly man, which oftentimes refers to Eliyahu Navi, Atana Le, he says, he quoted a Bryce, Chayv Li Tain Lo Asara Slum, to give 10 slum. Normally for Pidyon HaBen, you only owe 5. Since this child had two heads, you owe 10 slum. Aini, is that true? You're really supposed to give twice the amount, 10 slum total? The Hatani, the Bryce, tells us, the Rabbi Berchama Mitoch Shinemar, from the fact the Pasuk says, in the Pasuk in Parshas Korach, Pado Sivde Ez Bechor Adam, you're supposed to redeem the firstborn child. Shemeani, I would have thought, Afilu Nitra Besoch Shloshim, even if the child dies within 30 days, you still have to do a redemption. Tamalomer, the Pasuk says, going on Tamar Beis, Ach, not true. Ach means that Chalak is dividing it, Rashi says here. Ach Chalak means Pado Sivde. It's the same thing. A child, the Siamese twins, we know can't live for very long. And even though it may live past 30 days, it doesn't have a long life ahead of it. And therefore, he felt that you're completely pater from paying the Pidyon HaBet. So the Gemara says, the Shani Hach, in this case is different, however, when it comes to... when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it says dibil gugoles tal rachmana, based on the skull or the head that one has. So meaning even though, look at Rashi, bigugoles tal rachmana, the Pidyon Bechor dichsiv chamesh shkam l'gugoles, each head requires a redemption of 5 shlaim. V'hai yisle tre, and this child has 2. V'imishim ach chalak hashem yeh lo mes. Even though this child may not have a long life ahead of it, or children, whatever you refer to it as, does not have a long life ahead of it, right now it's lived till 30 days. If a child died within 30 days, it's another story. But this child lived. We don't look what's going to be. We look at right now. Right now, he lived past 30 days, and Lamai said the child has 2 heads, and since the Pasuk says, Gilgoles, so we have to pay 2 sets of Pidyon HaBen, a total of 10 shlaim. Gemara now says 2 lines down from the top here. Amar Mar, Yadcha, we said above, Yadcha Zua Kiboris, referring to the bicep. Minolan, how do you know it's referring to that bicep? Maybe Yadcha is referring to the hand, maybe the palm, maybe the wrist. So the Gemara says, the Tanur Bar in the bicep tells us, Yadcha Zu, Govish Shabiyah, the highest point of the arm. So the highest part means not like here, that would be the shoulder, but when you put your arm out like horizontally, if you have a bicep like Popeye, so then it sticks up a little bit, that's the highest point of the arm. So then the Gemara says, Ato merzu gova shabiyah, do you think the highest point of the hand? O einu ela al yad chamamish, maybe it means mamish on the hand. So, Amara Torah, hanach tefillin biyad, hanach tefillin birosh. We place one, as we know, on the arm and once on the head. Malahalan begova shabirosh, just like the tefillin shabirosh go on the highest part of the head, afkan begova shabiyad. So too, the tefillin shayad should go on the highest point of the arm, namely the bicep. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't need such a drasha. Harehu Omer, the pasuk says, Va'yalecha le'os, le'lcha le'os, v'lo lacherim le'os. Meaning, if it's going to be in your hand, everyone's going to see your hand's always exposed. It's meant to be lecha. Here, it's nice and tucked away, where only you see it as an os, no one else sees it as an os, and you don't need the hekesh to tefillin shorosh. Comes along now, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't need that drasha either, Rabbi Eliezer. Because I read Omer, the pasuk says, "V'samtem es devarai ela al levavchem ukshartem." You're supposed to put it on your heart and tie it there. Shete sima keneged alev, which is right near the bicep. That's why you place it on that area. And then the Gemara says, "Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Acha, Brei, Dirav, Avia, Mechave nemanech lelahade leba." They would place it precisely next to, adjacent to their heart. Rav Ashi, have a Yosef Kamede Amemar. Once Rav Ashi was sitting in front of Amemar. Have a Tzaira Biyade. He had something wrapped in his arm. He had a wound, a cut of some sort. He wrapped it on his arm. The Kamishazin Tefillin, and you're able to see they cut through such a way where the Tefillin was able to be seen through the shirt or through the covering. So Amalei says, Lo Savar Lamar, L'chalaos, L'lachemlos. Don't you know the drashas that no one else should see it? You should always cover the Tefillin Shayyad that only you should see it, no one else should see it. Amalei, B'makum L'chalos, Itmar. B'makum, in an area where it's for you, but not that others can see it. Rashi points out, what does that mean? B'makum is around 8 narrow lines down. B'makum l'chalos itmar, makum shiro b'nei adam ein nira l'acherim tainu kivores ulam im nikra shari. Meaning, a place that most people can't see it, but if it gets exposed, that's not a problem. There's no isser for someone else to see your tefillin shayad, but it should be in an area where, in theory, can be covered up and exclusively seen by you. So then the Gemara says, Gova Shebrosh Munolan. How do we know that the Tulin Shebrosh goes in the highest part of the head? Tatanir Rabban, the Brayta tells us, Bein Einecha, should be placed between your eyes. So one may think, maybe Mamish between your eyes, like the Tzedukim think. The Gemara says, no, Zu Gova Shebrosh is referring to the highest part of the head. Ah, tell me, Gova Shebrosh, you think the highest part of the head? Oh, Ein Ela, Mamish, Bein Einecha, Mamish, maybe it should be really between your eyes. Nemar Khan, Bein Einecha, Nemar Lahalan, Lo Sasimu, Karcha, Bein Einechem, Lemes. One should not tear out the hair between his eyes. We have a gzer shava bein einecha bein einechem malahan, just like by pulling out the hair, begoish berosh, referring to the head on your hair, malkum shosa karcha, where it makes bald spots in your hair, on your head, afkan begoish berosh, show too, we have it should be on the area on the top of your head where the tefillin goes. Malkum shosa karcha. So we know right here in the area where you could tear the hairs from a mace, that's what we're referring to. We're not referring to mamish between the eyes. So then Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einu Tzarech, you don't need the gzer shava from the karcha. Why? Amr Torah, the Pasuk says, V'hanach tefillin b'yad, hanach tefillin b'rosh. Malahan b'makum haroi litame b'nega echa. Just like the tefillin shayad is placed in an area of the arm, where there's one type of nega tzaras could happen there. It's a strange drasha, but only one type. Afkan here as well, makum haroi litame b'nega echa. So too, the placement of the tefillin shabrosh should be an area where it can only be tame with one type of tzaras. Lafuki b'nei necha. does that mean? Dika basa v'seyar. Backtrack just for, we'll finish the Gemara. Dika seyar lavan ika nami seyar tav. The lach is, the colors of teras differ depending on if it's going to be on the skin versus on the hair. Between our eyes, so we have hair and skin. So you have two types of negam that can happen. Over here on the top of the head, well, most people have hair here, that should only be a problem of hair, not of skin. So just like in the Shayad, there's only skin here, no hair, and just like here is hair, no skin, that's where it should go, as opposed to Bnei Necha, where there's both hair and their skin, and you're mixing two types of negam together, therefore it's definitely not Bnei Necha, we move it to the top of the head. Okay, now that's, we're complete with the halachas of tefillin. We're moving on, what?
It's stupid.
The mamish Bnei Necha, yeah. Sometimes you see in conservative shuls, they don't know, they wear like mamish shirosa. So fine. Then the Gemara says, Arbat Siti Yosem Akvos Zuadzu, Sharbasan Mitzvah Achas. The Mishad had Machlokas, whether or not the Dalad strings, the four corners, are considered one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. So according to the Tanakhama, it was all one mitzvah, but then there's the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, I think it was, right, Rabbi Yishmael? I think he said it was four different mitzvahs. We paskin one mitzvah, Rabbi Yishmael paskins four different mitzvahs. So my Benai, what's the difference? Who cares about one versus four mitzvahs? Is it a question of counting 613 mitzvahs? Is that the Nafkamina? So Gemara says, my Benai, what's the difference between the two opinions? Amar Rav Yosef, Sadin Bitzitis Ike Benayu. What Rashi points out here, what's this nafkamina? Let's say you have, Rashi says sadin, around almost halfway down the narrow lines. First word on the line is sadin, it's in bold. Sadin, the pishtan betitis betchelis da'amr. You have, let's say, linen titis, and you also have trellis made of wool. Now you're allowed to have a shatnez if it's trellis there. That's permitted. If there's no trellis, and shatnez is not permitted. So the ikabinah, that's an afkamina, meaning what? Latana kamadam or mitzvah achas hein, it's all one mitzvah. Hilkach ichaser sadin tzitzis echa. Let's say you're missing one of one of the corners of tzitzis. Let's come into it. You haven't completed the mitzvah. It's either all or nothing. Even though three have tzitzis, if the fourth one's not there, there's no mitzvah, and shatnez is not permitted. And the other three corners are considered shatnez. But the Rabbi Shmuel, that each one are separate mitzvahs, Allah have climbed to shlosh shenisharu shlosh mitzvahs. Even though one corner is missing, the other three are still considered mitzvahs on their own or in their own right, and therefore shatnez would be permitted on those corners. So that's one nafkamina, says Rav Yosef. Back to the Gemara now. Rava bar Ahina amar talis balas chamesh ikbenayu. A talis made of five different corners. That's the nafkamina. How is that the nafkamina? So Rashi explains here, balas chamesh, if it's five-cornered garment, shechatach mikaren echad balachson, let's say you cut the fourth corner, you cut on an angle, you now have created two corners, so it goes from a four-begad to now five begadim, because remember, you have four corners. You take the fourth corner, you cut it off, but now there are two corners here, on that angle, one here, so now you have a total of five corners. So what's the lach of a five-cornered garment? So the Gemara says, Tanah Kaman, we're going to learn later on Daf Mem Gimel. Talis balas chamesh chayavis betitzis. You need to put titzis on. V'yalef le miriboy da'asher tichaseba and exercise kasev. You don't put on five corners. You put it on four corners. Even though there are five corners, four of the five corners require titzis. So Rashi explains further. According to the Tanah Kama, damer mitzvah achas hein savar arbak dafka the mitzvah achas. V'rebichi Rabbi Rachmana balas chamesh lahatil arba. According to Tanakhama, you only put tzitzis on four corners. The fifth corner you leave empty. Which is the fifth? Which is considered the fourth? Which is the fifth? The halacha talks about the one that's closest to the other corners. Fine, but you only put on four corners, not in the fifth corner. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel, says Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Arbas and Arba Mitos. When the pasuk includes even a five-corner garment requires tzitzis, nami lahati lekulu rabia. Even the place on the fifth corner requires its own tzev tzitzis. That's the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Every additional corner requires a new tzev tzitzis because it's each a mitzvah bifnei atzma. Mar now brings another nafkamina between the two opinions. That's the opinion of Ravina. Ravina, Amar Ravina says, the Rav Huna ikabinau. The shita of Rav Huna is the nafkamina between Tanakam and Rabbi Yishmael. Who's Rav Huna? That Rav Huna, what does he say? Hayotze betalash she'ena mitziyatzes kilchasa b'shabes chayv chatas. A person walks into a rishus harabim wearing a titus that's not a beged, that's not with proper titus, so let's say only has three corners on it, so then it's, since it's not a mitzvah, it's considered carrying strings. But once you put the fourth corner, that's considered the mitzvah, that's not considered carrying. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, let's say you only have three of them, that's fine, because each one's a mitzvah, you're allowed to. But according to Tanna Kamma, since you have not completed the mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, you're missing the fourth corner, in which case the other three corners are considered carrying rishus harabim, and one would be chayv chatas. Last two narrow lines, Amar Rav Shesha, Braid Rav Idi. Haiman de Batze Leglima, one who, Batze means to cut, I think, right? One who cuts one of the corners of the titus and makes one into two corners, La'avid Loklum, he hasn't really done anything, Kushavil Talas Balas Chamesh, he just made a five-corner garment, and five-corner garment still requires titus, he hasn't accomplished anything. I got recently someone asking a shayla, actually, he's told me his in-laws live in some place in South America, and the practice to where they live is they wear robes, like these four-cornered ponchos or something like that. I don't know where it was, which city it was in. So they wanted to know, is he chayav to put titus on? I says, yes, if they're four corners, you need to put titus. The eight would be, without insulting them, if you cut one of them into a curve, into a corner, wouldn't help. But if you round it, then that would not be five or four-corner, that would be three-corner garment, in which case it wouldn't be chayav titus. So then the Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason for this? I skipped the line, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Misharsha, high minded Sari Leglimi, person who folds over their corner garment, let's say too long, they fold it over in half now, and then they put on Tzitzis, Lo Avid Lokum. Doesn't really accomplish anything, why? So let's say you fold it over. Let me take that tissue for a second, just thank you so much. Take the towel, Tzitzis, let's say the square, you too long, you fold it like that. They end up putting Tzitzis over here and over here, sorry, here and the bottom too, here. So what happens is, when you open it up, you end up having the tzitzis in the center here. So Gemara says, if you put them when it's folded and it ends up being in the center, you haven't accomplished anything, even though right now it's folded. The reason is, says the Gemara, my taima, the command the shari adami. Since you could always very easily unfold it, and the corner, the tzitzis end up being in the center, that's not considered the corner. So then the Gemara says, v'tana, the Mishnah tells us, when it comes to Hilchos Tuma, t'na nami, kol chamasos hatsuros tahoros. Any type of, when it comes to a kli that's makabel tuma, that kli has to have a base kibla, an area to catch something. If it's flat, not makabel tuma. But if it's bent up in such a way where it's able to catch water or something, or fruit, that's considered makabel tuma. It's able to be makabel tuma. So let's say you have it flat, and you sew it up in such a way where it could catch something. The Gemara says, Mishnah says, that's not metame, because you could easily just open it up and remove the stitching. So the Mishnah says again, Chamasos Hatsuros Toros, excuse me, you have these leather pouches that are Tsuros that are tied together, they're still Tower, because you always untie them if you want them. Chutz Mishal Aravim, except the Arabian types of leather pouches where they never untie it, that would be considered final and can be Makabal Tumah. So Amar Rav Dimi Minaharda, Haiman de Chaita Leglim. Let's say you fold your towels and you sew it now. You don't just fold it, but you actually make a stitch and keep it there. La'avid lo klum. That also wouldn't work. So you fold it like this. You sew everything now. It looks like it's final. You put a strings each in the corner. That still doesn't work. Why not? I sewed it together. What's wrong with that? So the Gemara says, because in Isa, if you really wanted to make it shorter, de lo mi baile, lifsake lishrei. If you don't really need the extra half, just cut it in half. Instead of folding it and sewing it, tells me that I run at some point open it up like that. If I really didn't want it, I should split it in half, and then that would get me the short type of garment, and therefore, folding and sewing would not be a good etza to putting the tzitzit on. Gemara now quotes the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel that we saw in the Mishnah again, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Arbas and Arba mitzvahs, four corners of the strings are considered four separate mitzvahs. Comes along Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kurebi Shmuel, that's how we paskin, but Argamar responds back, less Hilchasa Kavase, we don't paskin that way. In other words, we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that all four tzitzis are considered one mitzvah bifnei atzma. Let's finish the parak. Gemara now says, Ravina Havaka, Azir Ravina was once traveling a Basri de Mar Baravashi, he was following after Mar Baravashi, Bishabasa de Rigla. It was a Shabbos Chalamoid Yontif, and the big drasha took place on Shabbos Chalamoid, so they're going to the big Shabbos. So it could be even the Shabbos before the Yontif. Actually, Rashi says, Rashi is Shabbos de Rigla, Shabbos Shadorshin Behilchos Haregel, Kedekaimlan Sholin Behilchos Pesach, Kodm Pesach, referring to the Shabbos Agadol Drasha, Shabbos Shuva Drasha, right before the Yontif to learn the halachas, learn the lamdas, learn the musr, the chizik from the Rav. So they're traveling to the shul, the drasha, Amalei Mehasam Ifsik. he says to them that your string snapped. It's a possible titus you're wearing now. So Amrlei I Amrli Hasam. How do you tell me? I'm sorry, I skipped a line again. If say Karna Dechute, so his titus snapped. It was possible. V'lo Amrlei Lamide. Even though Ravina saw this, he didn't say a word to him. Lem continued to walk on Shabbos with a pasul titus, which we know is considered carrying, and if it's a rishis rabbim, it's chay v'chatas. Kad mati lebeisa, when he arrived at the house or the base medrash, whichever direction they're going to, Amalei mehasim ifsik. I want to let you know that a couple miles away, your titus became pasul. So Amalei, he obviously hasim. Had you told me there, Shadi, I would have removed it. So why didn't you tell me back then? Why do you wait until I got home? I carried b'shogeg v'chatas. Could be onus. V'hamer mar gadol kavod abrios shedoches lo sasei shebetara. So you shouldn't. What do you mean? Why would you have taken it off? That would have been, you can't walk around naked in the rechutz. We know that gadol kavod abrios, so important is one's human dignity that even violates lo sasei. Even though you may have been carrying and violating chutzah on Shabbos, kavod abrios is greater than that. So you would not have taken it off. You shouldn't have taken it off. So targama rav bar shava kamei derav kana. It's not any lav. A kavod abrios is not docha any lav, referring to the lav de lo saser, which means isrei derabanan. But to violate it, isa deraisa, never do we say kavod abrios. Nothing stands in the way of an isa deraisa. A person has to spend all the money in the world, the post can say, to prevent yourself from violating isa deraisa. That means even to put a person in a place of shame and embarrassment. Ikadami mehasim. Others say mehasim amrile. No, when he saw the strings snapped, he told him right there on the spot. He says, Rebbe or Bar Rav Ashi, your string snapped, your tzitzit are pasul. He did tell him, Amalei, my daitcha, lemishte, you want me to take off my tzitzit now? Why are you telling me now? I can't remove them. V'hamar mar gadol kavod abrios shedoches lo sasei shebetara. What good is it you telling me now? We're here in public. It's beneath me to remove my talis here in public, and it's able to violate daraisa. So what do you mean? How could you say that? Hatargum rav bar shava kamei derav kana b'lav de lo sasei? What do you mean? You're carrying on Shabbos. It's only the kavod abrios, only docha elo saser and issa derabanan. But here it's Shabbos, and you're carrying chutzah on Shabbos. That's an issa deraisa, chutzah and rishus rabbim. How can you tell me that you could keep the talis on? I'm telling you to take the talis off now, otherwise you're violating an issa. So Gemara says no. Hachanami karmelis derabanan. We're referring to not a real rishus rabbim where there's 600,000 people walking according to Rashi, or 16 amos wide according to the other Rishonim. We're talking about an area that's only a karmelis, where it's not really Rishis Rabbim, but it's not Rishis Yachid either. There's only an Isser Midirban to carry, and since it's an Isser Midirbanan, we would say Kavod Abrios is Docha and the Isser. And therefore, even though his tzitzis snapped and it's possible, and he's now considered carrying, since it's only an Isser Midirbanan, he's allowed to keep it on for his own dignity. Hajin Lach HaKometz.